Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And Ghost Huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com, and congratulations, Sophia, on celebrating over 12 years of broadcasting here on liveparanormal.com, and now on ghosthunting.com. You can also, too, listen now on Spreaker, among all the places of you catch all your favorite podcasts. Feel free to call into the show at 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316 as well. Feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. Thank you, Rob Sarek, for providing this format each and every week, and also to all of our moderators. Thank you guys for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed. Thank you guys for all your support through the years. And as today, we welcome Paranormal Quest founding investigator and filmmaker Ryan Zacherl. Everyone visit Paranormal Quest and Ryan Zacherl's official Facebook, Paranormal Quest, Twitter, the PQ official, Instagram at Ryan_Zacherl, and YouTube search Paranormal Quest. Upcoming, we have the new reality paranormal investigators Sean Adam and Cody Dare. That'll be next weekend, the 27th. Ethereal Voices paranormal lead investigator Richard Johnson will be on the program on the 6th of June. We have other guests. We're securing their guest spot dates, too, as well. So like the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. We have some great guests on the docket coming up as well. Like liveparanormal.com Facebook group page and support the membership and the vendors here on Live Paranormal. The memberships, they start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob's great at rewarding the audience here with a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors and more. He's great at rewarding everybody. Tonight on Light Paranormal, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here at Chip Coffee of Kindred Spirits, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhart, and many more on this very network. Archive shows, if you miss anything, they're available as free MP4 iTunes downloads immediately following the broadcast, too, as well. Let's go ahead and bring on the host here, the ghost host, Sophia. Congratulations on 12 years of broadcasting.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 12 years.
Yeah, and that was cool. Last weekend, you had on the Women of the Fringe, the new book, Women on the Fringe, Groundbreaking Women in the Paranormal, and your story is included in the pages. How cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, it was super exciting to be asked to be a part of the book, and yeah, people should definitely check it out. There's a lot of amazing stories from tons of women in the field, so yeah, it's super cool to be a part of the book.
Yeah, and the publishing CEO of Ghosted Magazine, they sent over just a quick sneak peek last night, so everybody will be able to get their copies of the new issue, ghostedmagazine.com, and your article within. How cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's super exciting. April is such an amazing friend of the show and our family, an amazing psychic, and she opens an incredible magazine with her friend, Michael, and so it's great to just, well, first off, see their magazine getting out there to the world and to have been asked to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, yeah, it's going to be, it looks like in Barnes & Noble, it's going to be on newsstands and ghostedmagazine.com. But you got the other things. You got the Twitter, the Instagram, all the different places, YouTube. Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at Sophia Temporelli, Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L because my name's too long.
I know, we cursed you with a long name. Well, tell us about your guest today, Sophia.
Today we welcome Paranormal Quest founding investigator and filmmaker Ryan Zacharel. Everyone visit Paranormal Quest and Ryan's official Facebook, Paranormal Quest, Twitter at VPQOfficial, Instagram at Ryan_Zacharel, and YouTube search Paranormal Quest. Let's welcome him into the show.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for coming on today.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm really looking forward to this, and I can't wait for the conversation we have.
Oh, cool.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on today. I mean, the paranormal is such an interesting and intriguing field, and you do so much cool work within it, but what initially kind of sparked that interest for you? Did you have an experience when you were younger, or have you just always had an interest in spooky stuff?
Well, it's interesting looking back because there are paranormal experiences that I had in my early childhood life that I don't even remember, and actually I was told about them secondhand by my grandmother. There's an experience I had when I was really young, apparently when I was going down for a nap. The whole family was at a funeral, and apparently I was in the crib, and I started freaking out, and she came to get me, and I was just old enough to talk at the time, and I basically told her that I saw a woman coming towards me to come and pick me up, and then she just disappeared. And so that was like the first experience, so young that I don't even remember it. And I kind of strayed away in my young life from anything paranormal, but I found an interest around the age of 10 or 11 in cameras and filmmaking and media when I was the camera operator and cameraman for my elementary school news in the sixth grade. So I started with a video camera really young. And then when I was 14 years old, my paths crossed. Actually, my mom started dating a man who was in charge of the West Virginia Penitentiary in Moundsville, the famous penitentiary that everyone knows about in Moundsville, West Virginia.
Yeah.
And so I started helping build the haunted house there. And as time went on, about a month later, I met a lady named Lori O'Neill. And Lori kind of, you know, saw my interest in the history and the building and the paranormal. And she said, why don't you come with me on one of the ghost hunts that she was, you know, employed to be the tour guide for. And I was 14 years old. This was November of 2008. I went on my first official ghost hunt at the West Virginia Penitentiary. And I was hooked, and it was just months later I had my first real paranormal experience in the penitentiary, which is still to this day the most impactful experience I've ever had. And I was hooked. I mean, it was so impactful I have it tattooed on me. The sound wave of the EVP that I captured is tattooed on my arm. So
wow.
And then, you know, I met some friends of mine. I met Dave and then our friend Steve at the penitentiary. We all worked, and we decided to undergo a documentary project, which was originally going to be for local television. And when that channel didn't show any interest after we made a few episodes, we just started uploading them to YouTube. And that was in 2011, we started uploading to YouTube. And so that's where the path kind of started to where I am today.
Well, I mean, that's incredible. I can definitely relate. I also had experiences from before I can remember that I was told about secondhand. So, I mean, it's crazy when, you know, stuff like that happens so young that, you know, it has to be like some sort of repressed memory or something subconsciously that really draws you to the paranormal from those experiences.
Yeah, it's like the paranormal, you know, most people, you don't choose the paranormal chooses you, and I really feel like that was the way it was for me, because, I mean, it's kind of like a rabbit hole you go down, and you think about if one thing would have happened differently in my life, how different my life would be today, you know, if I wouldn't have become involved at the West Virginia Penitentiary, or if I hadn't have been obsessed with the history mm-hmm. of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania from a young age and gone and visited there. And had a couple of minor experiences at Gettysburg when I would go to visit. You know, if all of that had been different, where would I be today? So I really do feel like the paranormal chose me, and that's why I love it and continue to do it to this day, you know, 15, 16 years later.
Absolutely. And when you have those experiences from such a young age, do you notice that you have any abilities or – you know, have anyone ever told you you did for you to have those experiences so young?
Well, that's the curious thing. I've had that thought myself that maybe, because, you know, some people they go their whole lives without ever having a paranormal experience. And it really mm-hmm. does intrigue me as to why there are certain people that experience the paranormal from very young. And there are other people that go their whole lives without a paranormal experience. And I don't think I've ever sat down and really exercised any sort of abilities other than going into haunted locations every single week, sometimes multiple times a week, to try and investigate and film and capture paranormal activity. But I do find myself at times when I'm on investigation saying, you know, I feel strange. There's a weird feeling that I'm having. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after something actually does occur that we capture on camera. So, but as far as exploring any sort of, you know, medium abilities or psychic abilities, I wouldn't consider myself psychic in any way, but I do believe the more you investigate the paranormal, the more sensitive you become to it, and the more you can tell when you're about to have something strange happen.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not psychic by any means or anything. I would definitely say I'm a sensitive, but I mean, what you're describing kind of sounds similar to me. Like I can't, mm-hmm. I like to say I'm like those Geico commercials where it's like a dental monitor. Like, I can tell you something's there, but I can't tell you more than that. And I just find it interesting, since you had those experiences at such a young age, that, you know, maybe you have something similar to me where you're able to tell something's there, but, you know, you can't tell like a full backstory or who it is or anything.
Right. And I've always said, you know, people always ask, what's your favorite piece of paranormal equipment? And I always say, if you're talking technical equipment, I think cameras, because, of course, me being, mm-hmm. you know, around cameras from a young age, that's my favorite thing. And especially if you can switch it over to night vision. But, you know, if I had to choose any sort of like specific piece of equipment that wasn't a camera, I would say that, you know, my own body and my own experiences would probably be what I would choose because, you know, like you said, you know, you can tell when there's something there. And I feel like I'm kind of the same way, you know, just walking into a building, a lot of times I can tell that there's something off. I can't tell what it is, or I can't tell
mm-hmm.
who it is or what is going to happen. I just know that there's some sort of energy there and something has a good possibility that something could happen.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's definitely relatable for me. You probably do have something there. I don't know to what degree because I'm not psychic. I'm not an expert in that, but it's definitely amazing, you know, that you did have that from such a young age. And when that comes to, you know, having that as just a part of you, how do you like to go into investigations? Do you like knowing the backstory of the location, or do you like to go in kind of blind?
Well, I do like sometimes on very rare occasions to go in without any information, but see, I'm a history nerd from a very, mm-hmm. very young age. I absolutely adore history, and I feel like I'm better off utilizing history on an investigation to know, you know, specifically what happened in these locations. Specifically, we have a video coming out tonight on our YouTube channel where we spent 2 nights in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which was just like a dream come true for me. And special thanks and shout out to Ghostly Images of Gettysburg for allowing us to come and investigate at the orphanage and the Jenny Wade house. But sorry, I forgot what the question was because I jumped into that. What was the question again?
it's totally fun. I was just asking if you like to know history when you go into a location or if you like to go in blind.
That's right. I got off. I did the thing where I started running and I lost track of what I was supposed to say.
You're good. It's
history,
your interview.
And, you know,
you can say whatever comes to your mind. It's your interview.
It's one of those things where my mouth got ahead of my brain, but I do love the history, and I feel like utilizing that on an investigation, you know exactly who you're trying to speak to. For example, like that investigation that we're releasing tonight, it was an orphanage where horrific things were done to children, and they believe a lot of the children still haunt the building. So you can go in with a different line of questioning than you would if you were going to speak to, let's say, prisoners or inmates or even adults. You know, you go in with a different, I guess, demeanor when you're going to talk to, you know, the spirits of children if they are indeed there. So, but then also just for my own fascination, I absolutely love history. It's just, and I have Dave always tells me that I just have a sponge for a brain when it comes to history. When someone tells me a historical fact, it just sticks in my brain.
Absolutely. And that, I mean, that's one of the great things about the paranormal is getting to learn that history and even connect with it real time when you're investigating. Through the historical facts that you've learned in your life, what is like the coolest or most interesting historical fact you've learned about a location you were going to investigate?
Oh, gosh, that is a good question because there are so many amazing places that we've investigated over the years. I would have to say, because I have so much knowledge from my 14 years as a tour guide there, I became very fascinated with prison history and the West Virginia Penitentiary. I really enjoy just not even the paranormal history, but just the intricacies of how the prison operated and the things that the inmates did when they were there behind the backs of the correctional officers. And just in general with prisons, it's like a whole different world, and it's something that is very difficult to investigate because when you're communicating with the spirits of inmates, you almost have to kind of have this knowledge of like, okay, this is how they would have spoken to each other, this is how they wouldn't have spoken to each other. And I guess probably just some of the stories that I've heard over the years of ways that inmates actually control the inner workings of a correctional institution without the correctional officers even realizing it is probably one of the more interesting facts behind it. But and getting to meet and hear stories from inmates who live that experience is just fascinating to me as well. So I don't know that I'd be able to pick and choose an exact one, but I could probably pull from my experience at the West Virginia Penitentiary. I was told about a story from a former correctional officer who worked there, And in 1979 at the West Virginia Penitentiary, there was a mass escape that took place, and it became famous around the country because 15 inmates just walked right out the front door of the prison. And when you think about escape,
wow.
You think, okay, they tunnel out. You know, they're going to tunnel out. They're going to go out the windows. They're going to try and climb the wall. They're going to sneak out on trucks. They're going to hide in shipments. But these inmates didn't do any of that. They just smuggled in a firearm, and then they used that to get through the front doors of the prison, and 15 of them, because of the lack of security that day, just walked right out the front door. And in doing so, they happened to run into, just purely by chance, there was a West Virginia state trooper named Philip Kesner that was driving by with his wife at the time. He wasn't even on duty, but he saw the inmates escaping, and he stopped and tried to, you know, basically apprehend these inmates before they made it too far, but it led to an actual prison in which that state trooper was shot and killed. And, you know, these inmates escaped. There was one inmate that was shot on the escape, and, you know, they ended up capturing all of them eventually after about a year and a half, which is a very long time. But, you know, these inmates were very capable of doing whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted. The only thing that stopped them was the repercussions of what would happen to them afterwards. So I think that was probably one of the biggest eye-openers for not just the prison, but any prison, that, you know, there's a very select few correctional officers inside these institutions, and if the inmates really wanted to do anything, especially back in that time, they could do anything.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely interesting that they just walked straight out of a prison like that. And when it comes to your historical knowledge and paranormal quest, do each of you who are part of the team have individual roles within it? And I know you guys said that this was started out as something different and then made it to YouTube. But how did you all initially meet, too, and come up with the idea of paranormal quest together?
So it's kind of funny that you say that. We have this running joke that when we started Paranormal Quest in 2010, it was just three friends who met in prison. And everyone always looks at us kind of funny when they don't know the story, but we were all tour guides at the West Virginia Penitentiary and worked there in some capacity and found out that we all had experiences. We all had a love for the paranormal, and we all had a love for filmmaking. And at the time, it was myself, Dave, who is still a part of the show on every single episode, and then Steve, who has since had to focus on family stuff and step away from the show. But and then we brought on our good friend Jason Kinney, who we all when he came overnight prior to paranormal investigation there when he was just 14 years old. We each had our own strengths.
Your line kind of cut out there. Yeah, you cut out for a little bit there.
Yeah, just for a second.
Okay, let me move closer to – I have Wi-Fi calling turned on. So let me move a little bit closer to the Wi-Fi router, and maybe that'll help. We brought on Jason McKinney. We brought on Jason McKinney in 2017, and the team evolved to four. And Jason still comes on when he can, but, you know, mostly Dave and I have taken over the – you know, week-to-week episodes that we release on YouTube. But we do everything from the filming to the editing to the review, and we put out a video every single week. So it has become our full-time jobs. And in 2021, we were able to actually leave our other full-time jobs to just pursue YouTube, which was a dream come true, you know. But we still work 60 to 70 hours a week with the YouTube work that we do. So, but it's like one of those things. We all have our strengths, and we all work as a team, and, you know, especially Dave and I, to make sure that we have content and we have videos and we have locations and we're able to travel. And, you know, so, yeah, as it's like a dream come true to get to, it's like that kid that fell in love with the paranormal now gets to do it as a job through the medium of video production, and that's just one of the most amazing things.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of people think, you know, these videos are – you know, just able to come out. But I mean, they do take a lot of, especially when it comes to the paranormal, reviewing evidence and, you know, setting up locations, all of that is so much. From start to finish of, you know, booking the location to investigate at to actually putting it to YouTube, how long does that generally take you making a single video?
Well, it's varied over the years. We don't really get much time anymore to actually you know, go and travel and investigate and create a backlog. So a lot of times what we end up doing, like we did, like we have for this week's video, is we were just in Gettysburg on the night of the, on the day of the solar eclipse that occurred. So that was what, like a week and
a half ago?
2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we get home, and for all of that footage, I have to convert it. That takes about 24 hours to set it up on my computer and get the footage to convert down to more manageable file sizes because we shoot in 4K. And then from there, I sit down and I spend almost an entire eight-hour workday syncing the audio with the video. And that's before the editing even begins. And then after that, I compile the footage that needs reviewed, and I give it to Dave for him to review, especially when we do what we call abandonment, which is an entirely different conversation, I guess, which I can describe here in a minute, because we have a specific part of our investigation where we leave cameras in the building completely empty for about an hour to 2 hours. So we have to review four to five camera angles. That is like an hour to 2 hours, and Dave takes the review. So that right there is a 5 to 10 hour work day just to get the review done on the video that we do for abandonment. And then editing, I would say it takes 50 to 70 hours per week to get these YouTube videos edited and uploaded, because we love the documentary format that we have, but it is very time consuming and it is very work inducing.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a lot. And it's incredible you guys were in Gettysburg the week of the eclipse. Were you guys actually investigating the day of the eclipse happening?
Yes, actually. That's the video that's going to be released tonight on the channel. We got the opportunity to investigate the Gettysburg Orphanage on the day that the eclipse happened, that night afterwards. And for the eclipse, we got to stand on the battlefield at Devil's Den and watch the solar eclipse happen. Now, that wasn't in the path of totality, but we did get to see a huge amount of coverage with that eclipse. And to stand there on Devil's Den, where the, some of the most violent and vicious of the fighting during the battle took place, and to watch the eclipse happen that afternoon, and then investigate one of the most haunted buildings in Gettysburg that night was like a dream come true.
So with regards to the eclipse, I know I've heard through the years that sometimes storms or, you know, heavy rain will affect paranormal activity. Did you notice or feel that there was an increase in paranormal activity the night of the eclipse?
I will say that it was very active. I don't know if it was more active than usual, because that was my first time investigating that building, and I've had a lot of people that I've talked to who said that they also had a lot of activity at the orphanage. But I will say that it was a very active night. I guess maybe I'll have to go back in the future and investigate on a night that isn't an eclipse inside the orphanage to see if maybe it's any different. But I had also heard the same thing as well, that maybe that particular massive solar event, solar and lunar event, could charge the energy and of whatever spirits are already there, or maybe, you know, create some other sort of energy vortex portal, whatever you would call it. But I will say that through our equipment and also through the other experiences that we had and the evidence that we documented, it was a very active night that night.
Well, that's super cool. I remember the day of the eclipse saying to my mom, I literally said, I'm surprised that there aren't more ghost hunters and paranormal investigators, like, investigating. I know not everyone was in the path of totality, but, like, trying to investigate during an eclipse. So it's cool you guys were able to do it the day of.
It was, and when we were at Devil's Den, we did roll on a digital voice recorder, which we were being respectful as not to do a full investigation on the battlefield, because the national park doesn't allow for paranormal investigation to take place on the battlefield itself.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't really capture anything during, because there was so many people on Devil's Den watching, but it kind of happened by just happenstance. It wasn't like we had planned to be in Gettysburg during the eclipse. It was something that we realized afterwards. We booked the trip and we had planned to go, and then like 2 weeks beforehand we're like, wait a minute, the eclipse is going to be happening when we're in Gettysburg. So it was like either a stroke of good luck or, you know, coincidence or something else, I don't know, but it was really cool to get to experience that.
Absolutely. That is, I mean, so awesome you guys got to do that. I do know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com And, I'll just bring everything up. Quest founding investigator and filmmaker Ryan Zackrell joins us today. Everyone visit Paranormal Quest and Ryan Zackrell's officials, Facebook, Paranormal Quest, Twitter, the PQ official, Instagram at Ryan_Zackrell, YouTube search Paranormal Quest. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Believe.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it. You know, it's almost like we didn't leave break.
All right, Ryan and Sophia, you're back on.
Hey, Ryan. Thank you guys
Hello.
For coming on today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So tonight, as you were saying, you're releasing a video that you guys took in Gettysburg, but can you tell the audience about some of the previous videos you've made and some of the backstory on the locations?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been very lucky. We, through actually a chance meeting when I was at work at the West Virginia Penitentiary, we got to meet two ladies that are from Australia. They have a ghost tour company in Australia, and it's called Adelaide Haunted Horizons, and we were supposed and scheduled to travel to Australia. Oh, gosh, this would have been April of 2020. And we all know how that went. That went the way of, you know, the coronavirus. So we had to cancel that entire trip. But, you know, come October of 2022, we finally got a chance to go over to Australia and experience some haunted locations on that continent, which was an amazing experience. And I'd say there were some really cool ones. There was the Adelaide Jail, which was the prison for Adelaide, South Australia, that we got to investigate, which is just a massive prison where, you know, there's a lot of strange laws in Australia in comparison to the way prisons operate in the United States. There's one that I remember they did executions there, all by hanging, but these prisoners had to be buried inside the prison. So they have these letters painted on the wall, on the back wall of the Adelaide jail. And these inmates were actually executed by hanging there, but they couldn't, their body would never leave the prison. They had to stay. So, and we had some amazing SS responses come through that are notable. But one of my favorites that we did in Australia was the Airedale Lunatic Asylum, which, you know, I do believe actually there's been a few YouTube videos coming out recently from other channels that have gone there, but that was the one of the largest psychiatric hospitals in Australia. And that particular location was just chilling. I mean, it's just the empty halls, all the same things you get from the asylums in the United States, the transorbital lobotomies and But I remember specifically we walked into the men's infirmary ward of Airedale Lunatic Asylum, not to investigate, but because we were waiting for a tour group to be done in the morgue. And stuff just started happening all around us. Our equipment started going off, and we're like, no, we're going to stay here. And for like an hour and a half, we stayed inside the Airedale Lunatic Asylum, having this conversation with what I believed to be a man who was angry because he was told that when he passed away, he would go to heaven, but he wasn't in heaven. And just the spirit box responses we were getting were just chilling. In the same town of Ararat, Victoria, Australia, there's another small building called J Ward, which is actually a branch off of the Airedale Lunatic Asylum. And that was the ward for the criminally insane. So those that were too dangerous to be housed at the Airedale Lunatic Asylum were kept in J Ward. And we had so many strange experiences there. I remember there was a gentleman named Gary Webb that was housed there. And he was famous in Australia because he was just, I'm trying to put this in a sort of PG fashion, but he was very violent towards himself, and he would do it to try and get attention to get sent to hospital so that he would be able to leave the asylum. But in total, they said that like he just absolutely mutilated himself, and it was a terrible, terrible situation. But he would write letters to the government threatening the government, and so like everyone knew this guy. And he did eventually pass away from that, from him harming himself in one of the wards of J Ward. And I just happened to ask, I was like, do you remember this guy who was famous? Do you remember this guy that did all these wild things? What was his name? And I started up the spirit box, and a clear and loud voice came through and just said, Gary. And it was like, what are the chances that, you know, even if it was radio interference on the spirit box, what are the chances in that moment the name Gary would come through when I'm asking about Gary Webb? I mean, we did a place called St. Albans in Virginia, St. Albans Sanatorium, which was another mental hospital, which was just, I mean, so active. It seems like we get a lot of luck in asylums, but then again, any place that is deemed to be haunted, a lot of times it's a place where a lot of tragedy has happened. So we captured at St. Albans this really strange disembodied voice that sounded like someone crying, and it was coming from the next room. And I just remember all of us thought that, like, there's no way that this is paranormal. There's got to be someone messing with us, but there was nobody there. So it's just interesting because we've done a lot of traveling, especially in the past 2 or 3 years, and there's so many locations I could talk about, just have such a fascinating history, but that would be probably an entire day-long radio show.
Well, I mean, that's incredible that you guys have been able to travel like that. Australia looks beautiful, and I honestly, I'm just really mostly scared of their bugs. Like, paranormal activity, yeah, can be scary, but, like, their bugs really freak me out.
It's funny that you say that, because when we were in the Adelaide jail, we were doing an Estes session, and I was listening. I had just got on the headphones, and Dave was carrying the camera, and I remember because he's terrified. I mean, anyone that watches our channel knows that Dave hates spiders, bugs, anything. And so he's walking down the cell block, and he stops in front of this wall and pans the camera, and on the wall behind him was a spider that I'm not even kidding you, the spider from like the leg span, if you have one of those like tea saucers, that's how big this spider was. Like,
oh my God.
It wasn't dinner plate size, but it was at least tea saucer size. And so we when we found it in the footage, we sent it to Allison from Adelaide Haunted Horizons, and we said, what kind of spider is this? And the only thing she sent back was deadly.
Oh my God.
So
yeah,
There's
no way.
they always like to joke that everything in Australia will kill you. And yeah, there are a lot of dangerous animals in Australia, but we didn't have any trouble with, you know, any encounters with them, so to speak, because most of the time they'll leave you alone if you leave them alone. But I think you'd be okay, even though it is a little bit daunting and a little bit intimidating. If you were to travel to Australia, Sophia, I would feel like you would be fine.
I can honestly say I think I'd rather fight the kangaroo than see a saucer-sized, like, thing. Because I feel like maybe I could befriend the kangaroo after, like, a fight, but the spider, no way.
I don't know. Kangaroos are pretty deadly, too, with their back claws. They'll grab a hold of you and kick with your back claws.
I saw their talons on, like, TikTok the other day, but, I mean, still, the spider seems a little worse to me. At least I can see the
kangaroo. Bird claws.
Oh, my God. But, I mean, that's really cool you got to go there. Like I said, you guys do amazing investigations. Do you yourself or Paranormal Quest do residential investigations?
We have done residential investigations in the past, and we do enjoy going in and capturing evidence to try and help whatever families living there find answers. We've kind of strayed away from it in the past couple of years just because we had a case that we investigated that was really dark, and there were other factors, personal factors involved with the client that made it a very difficult case. And I know there are a lot of paranormal teams out there that do exclusive residentials, but it was a very draining case for me personally. I remember the week leading up to the week of the investigation and the week after, I would have at least 2 to 3 panic attacks a day just from the messages and the phone calls I was getting from the client. And it was just, it was too mentally draining for us. So we decided that we were going to take a break from doing residentials or at least be more selective at how we do them. But that house was probably one of the most haunted houses we'd ever been in and investigated. And I do feel like a lot of the activity that was going on in that house was partially the history, but also because of just the negative, the physical activity from the living resident and the people that she was bringing into that house was also charging a lot of the negative energy of the house. And but we've had other ones, one of the best disembodied voices we ever captured. And the reason why we do abandonment and leave cameras set up was a residential case. So this was back in 2012, we investigated a family's house in Moundsville, West Virginia, actually, just 3 doors down from the penitentiary. And we got to the investigation, and there was another paranormal team there, and they had a few friends there, and we quickly found out that the size of the house couldn't accommodate the number of people that were there. We were having trouble with contamination. So we decided what we were going to do is just ask everyone if they wanted to leave the house with us. And we were going to leave too, but we left cameras and recorders behind. And in the recording of, I left an audio recorder right at the bottom of the stairs on the first floor. And as you hear us leave, and about 2 minutes later, you hear what sounds like a child's voice that says, "Tell them what?" And then you hear, it sounds like a woman talking to the child saying, "We don't do that," which was strange to me because before we left, as I was setting up cameras and equipment, I was saying, if there were spirits there, I was saying, "Can you come out and talk to us and tell us your name or why you're here or just anything about yourself?" And we'll not be able to hear it because we're going to leave, but we'll get it. We'll hear it later on. And it was weird to me that you heard like a child's voice, which one of the reports of that house was the woman's grandchildren were hearing and seeing a child in the upstairs bedrooms and around the house. And so after that was 12 years ago. And since then, almost every investigation that we've conducted, we've decided that we're, you know, from that moment on, we said, let's leave cameras and audio recorders alone in haunted buildings every time we investigate somewhere and just leave and see what they capture. And we called that abandonment because we were abandoning our equipment in the location, and it kind of stuck. It just has been a part of our investigations ever since.
Well, I mean, that's super cool that you guys developed that for your channel after that. But, I mean, I'm sorry you went through, I mean, all those panic attacks and everything. I know that residentials can be, like, really intense. As someone that lived in a haunted house, it's hard to deal with. So I can see why you took a step back from that.
Yes, yeah. It was more so the type of activities, and not judging anyone. I don't want to talk badly about anyone in any way, shape, or form, but there was a lot of illicit and illegal activities going on at the house. And while we were there investigating, she had alluded that there was a firearm in the house and that, you know, she was having these homicidal dreams, and it just overall, it just absolutely threw me for a loop. And so I feel like I've always said I can handle ghosts, I can handle spirits, it's living people that I'm afraid of.
Yeah, that's definitely extremely intense. That's a lot. So I can see why you would take a step back from that. But I mean, for people who, you know, have an interest in the paranormal, like you said, you had experiences from before you can remember. For people who want to start out as a paranormal investigator or, you know, take their investigation to the next level and actually document it for YouTube, what advice would you give to those people?
I would say the best advice I could give for someone, do you mean like someone who's just starting out investigating?
Yeah, someone who's just starting out investigating or someone that wants to take their investigating to YouTube.
I would say the best way to start out investigating is to just have fun. That's the biggest thing. It starts out as a fascination and kind of allow yourself to build your own style of investigating and what works for you. I notice one thing that a lot of people do is they come on investigations and they try and emulate what they see on TV or they try and emulate what they watched on YouTube. And a lot of times what you see on TV or on YouTube is a very edited down, condensed version of someone else's investigation, and you're not going to have the excitement that you would have watching what someone else has produced from their own investigation. So I would say to start simple, learn how the equipment works, and to gain a really solid base knowledge of if this piece of equipment triggers, why is it triggering? And if I capture this on video, what causes this? Or, you know, just delve into, I guess, be your own biggest critic, so to speak. You know, learn how to debunk stuff, learn how to debunk your own footage, and that way you can validate stories and experiences accurately. As far as actually going to YouTube or filming, I would say the biggest thing is to just, you know, upload what you feel like you would be proud of, and don't allow the views or the clicks or the attention or any sort of popularity contest deviate you from why you originally wanted to produce the videos that you produce, because it really is easy to fall into a lot of the drama that goes on in the paranormal community today. And also, it is going to be a slow rolling ball. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. I mean, we worked producing content for 11 years before we could actually do it full time. And it was a journey, but it's a journey I'm glad we went on. And that's the biggest thing. Enjoy the journey. Don't focus on the destination.
Absolutely. And speaking of your journey too, like I said, you have gone to incredible locations on your YouTube channel, Paranormal Quest. Is there one location that stands out in your mind that you would love to revisit for a follow-up investigation?
Oh gosh, there are so many that I would love to return to and so many that I've never been to that I would love to visit. Probably one of the places that I would love to return to just because of how daunting of a history it is this past October, we did an interesting experiment with the Villisca Axe Murder House in Villisca, Iowa. And which I don't know if many people are aware of, but it was brought to our attention that there's another famous haunted house that shares an address with the Villisca Axe Murder House. And it's like one of the most haunted houses in America. And that was the Sally House in Atchison, Kansas, and the Villisca Axe Murder House have the exact same address. It's like 502 Main Street or something like that, or Second Street, mm-hmm. 502 Second Street. They share an address. So we came up with this experiment that I was going to spend the night entirely alone in the Villisca Axe Murder House while Dave spent the night entirely alone at the Sally House in Atchison, Kansas. And it was a very intimidating night, and there was some really interesting activity that happened. But I feel like me being there alone, I didn't get to fully appreciate the activity and the history that was going on around me. So I would love to return to the Villisca Axe Murder House to delve more into the paranormal activity that goes on there.
Absolutely. And you kind of mentioned my follow-up question earlier, but if you could go anywhere in the world and investigate, where would you go and why?
Oh, gosh. I have yet to set foot on the continent of Europe, and I would say there are so many amazing places throughout Europe, especially in the UK. I'm sure you have a lot of listeners in the UK that are listening right now, but the Hellfire Caves, I've always wanted to go there. There's a lot of castles in Romania that I would love to check out and investigate, because for a long time I've always had I'll call it a healthy obsession, because I don't want to call it an unhealthy obsession, but I've always had a healthy obsession with, you know, vampire folklore and Dracula and, you know, so all of those that Vlad Tepes used to run around in and rule over in Romania. I mean, just there's so much history over there. And being a young country here in America, we kind of take for granted that, you know, over there we kind of don't realize that we are so young, and a house that was built in the 1800s or 1700s for us is an old house. But for them, they have houses and buildings that are 500 years older than that. And it just fascinates me so much. The paranormal enthusiast and the history lover in me is ready to go to Europe.
Absolutely. And I get what you mean. I have a big obsession with vampires too. So, I mean, like you said, I think supernatural stuff just comes along with the paranormal. Some people start with experiences. Some people just literally always had an interest in creepy stuff.
Yes. Yes. And that's the thing. I always tell whenever I meet someone new, if I'm, you know, going to even think about building a friendship with someone, it's like, do you like spooky stuff? No? Okay. It's
yeah.
Not gonna work out.
My best friend, my cousin, I keep telling her to, like, I was like, we have a lot in common. We're also polar opposites. I'm like, to me, let's go to a cemetery together. She's like, no. And I'm like, why do you hate me?
That is a personal attack, and you should have been offended.
I know. I'm like, well, I got an Ovilus pink one. I'll let you use it. And she's like, no. And I'm like, you're really just actually so mean to me. I definitely get that. But we're coming towards the end of the show. The hour definitely flew by. But I want all the audience to know where they can find you online, social media, again, your YouTube channel. So please let the audience know about any upcoming interviews, events, and websites where they can find you.
Yeah, so we have a YouTube channel, Paranormal Quest, youtube.com/ParanormalQuest, where we upload all of our documentaries and investigations to. You can find us on Facebook at Paranormal Quest, Instagram, Paranormal Quest, on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. We are there as the PQ official. And we also just recently started a new podcast called Coffee and Scream, which is it has its own YouTube channel and people can find on Spotify, where we discuss all things spooky and, you know, sometimes paranormal, sometimes other things. So if you're interested in anything like that, definitely check out Coffee and Scream Podcast.
That's a great name, by the way.
Yes, because, you know, coffee and horror and scary and spooky things. That's all you need in life.
I'll have to tell my cousin that. She loves coffee, and maybe I can convince her to go to a cemetery. But thank you again, Ryan, so much for coming on today. Everyone, make sure to check out Paranormal Quest's YouTube channel. They have a new video releasing tonight, as Ryan said, in Gettysburg. And like Ryan said, they release weekly, so make sure to check it out. And thank you again so much for coming on.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I appreciate it. And have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too. And you're always welcome back on in the future.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I definitely will. I appreciate that.
All right, thanks, Ryan.
So,
bye. Wow, fantastic show today, Sophia.
Absolutely. Ryan was such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Our guest today is, with Paranormal Quest founding investigator, filmmaker Ryan Zacherl. Everyone visit, as he mentioned, too. He has the podcast, Coffee and Scream, and Paranormal Quest on Facebook, on Instagram, Paranormal Quest, on Instagram at Ryan_Zacherl, Twitter the PQ Official, YouTube Search, Paranormal Quest, and upcoming we have the new reality paranormal investigators Sean Adam and Cody Dare. That's next weekend, the 27th. Ethereal Voices paranormal lead investigator Richard Johnson will be on the program on that's going to be June 8th. In between, we have a lot of people that are securing their dates. I'm getting them added to the roster as well. So, like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Great show today, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie from Sion Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.